Today we're going to do Daf Sadi Tes Amud Aleph. We just did the Mishnah. So the Mishnah had said, if you borrow something, obviously we know that a borrower is chayiv in everything, even owns him, right? So what happens if the onus happens before you got delivery of the item that you're borrowing?
It's potter.
So generally speaking, potter. But if you already approved, you said, oh, deliver it this way, send it with this kid, that guy, that Evid, whatever, then you're already going to be chayiv as soon as the delivery man has it, right? That was the case of the Mishnah. Now, we gave examples of different types of delivery men in the Mishnah. Who are the delivery people in the Mishnah? Biyad,
no.
Son, servant,
and shliach.
And shliach, right? Good. So let's see. Says the Gemara, Biyad avdo chayiv. If you send it in the hand of your eved, you're going to be chayiv. The shol is chayiv in onsim. Meaning, what case? What did we say? The shol is if the shoel approved. He said, yeah, send it in the hand of your eved. But still, why should that be chayiv? Let's say I asked you to bring it to me. I'm borrowing from you, and I say, do me a favor, bring it to me. Am I going to be chayiv if on the way, I don't know, it had an onus, it died on the way? No, because you for sure still have it. I didn't get it yet, even though I asked you to bring it to me, but I still didn't get delivery of it, right? You understand that? So when you're sending it biyad, your eved, you know, we have a principle called yad eved ki yad rabo. Very important principle. Yad Eved Kiyad Rabba. What does that mean?
The hand of Neved is like the hand of his master.
Yeah, the Eved is an extension of the master. So I haven't gotten delivery of it yet. You know, it's one thing if I tell you, give it to my kid. I'm sending my son, he's going to pick it up from you. So as soon as my son has it, so then I understand. I'm taking responsibility. But you're sending it with your Eved. Your Eved is you. So I should not be chayiv yet. That's considered that I did not take delivery, asks the Gemara. Answers the Gemara, Amar Shmuel, Beved Ivri. We're not talking about an Eved Kanani. You know when we say Yad Eved Kiyad Rabo? When it's an Eved Kanani. An Eved Kanani, you actually own him. An Eved Ivri, you don't really own him. You have the rights to his service. But you don't. You know, he's not really an extension of you. Delo Kani Le Gufe, where you don't own him. That's not the way an Eved Ivri works. And therefore, that's why you're going to be chayiv as soon as he hands it off to his own Eved Ivri to deliver to you, as long as it's with your permission. That is one answer the Gemara gives. The Gemara second answer. Rav Amar, afilu tema beved kanani. We might even be talking about an Eved Kanani, and still the borrower is going to be chayiv as soon as the Eved Kanani of the lender starts delivering it. Why? Nasa ka'omerle, we treat this as if the borrower said to the lender, Hakisha b'makel v'hitavo. You know what? Don't deliver the animal with anything fancy. Just whack it with a stick and then it will start moving and eventually it will get to me. So if I tell you that's how I want you to deliver it, I'm taking responsibility the second you hit it with a stick, right? So does it make a difference if your Eved is walking behind it while that's happening? Meaning, once I told you, just get it to me, so I'm taking responsibility from the moment that you started it on its path. It doesn't matter whether your Eved is also walking with it. So what do we see? One question, two answers. What was the one question the Gemara asked?
How can you say that he's chayiv if he's an Eved? Because the Eved's an extension of the
Right. Master. How could you be chayiv as soon as the lender's Eved starts bringing it? The lender's Eved is the lender. Two answers. Answer number one. What kind of Eved are we talking about?
Eved
Ivri. Answer number two?
He told you to just hit him with
the stick. It says, if you told him, just hit it with a stick, and it walked on its own.
So if it was the owner behind it too, then he'd also...
Even the owner behind it, right, exactly. L'chora would sound that way. Says the Gemara. The Gemara asks on Rav's answer. Meisvei, I'll ask on that. You know, we have a brisa that says, Hashoel es hapara. Someone borrows a cow from somebody else. And the borrower says to the lender, send it to me with your son, with your shliach. Vishilchalo, biyad bino, biyad shlucho. And the lender does just that. He sends it with his son, with his shliach, and then it dies on the way. Chayiv. The shoel is going to be chayiv. But, here's where the brisa veers a little bit. Biyad avdo. If the shoel says, you know what, send it to me with your eved. And the mashil does. He sends it with the eved, and then it dies along the way, potter. The shoel is going to be potter. Even though he told him to send it with the eved. L'chora, that's against our Mishnah. right? Why is that against our mission? Because our mission was very clear. All three are in the same boat. Shliach, Pno, Avdo, they're all the same. And over here, this Bryson distinguishes between Shlucho and Pno on the one hand, and Avdo on the other hand. So it says more, Bish, Lamel, Shmuel. According to Shmuel, it's not a stira at all, at all. Why? Because Shmuel said that the mission is talking about Eved Ivri. And this could be talking about Eved Kanani, two types of Avadim. So Bish, Lamel, Shmuel, Masnisin, Be'Eved Ivri. Our mission is talking about an Eved Ivri. Brisa, Be'Eved Kanani, and the Brisa is talking about an Eved Kanani. Elul Rav Kasha. But according to Rav, we have a stira between the Brisa and the Mishnah, because Rav makes no such distinction between an Eved Ivri and an Eved Kanani. Rav thinks that the Mishnah is also talking about an Eved Kanani. So Amar Lach Rav, Rav could answer as follows, that in explaining why the Mishnah thinks that the Shoel is going to be Chayiv when you send him the cow with your own Eved Kanani, Lo tema nasa ka'amale. Now, don't say that we view it as if he told you to hit it with a stick and it started walking and then it should start walking to me. No, no. Ele'ema, what Rav really meant to say is, be amarle hikisha b'makel v'yitavo. What's the difference between nase ki amarle and be amarle?
Like you said it. And
oh, and when he actually did say it. Rav's answer wasn't that when I tell you to send it with your Eved, it says if I told you to hit it with a stick and your Eved just happens to be walking by. No, no. Because it's not as if anything. If your Eved's walking with it, you're still going to be chayiv for it. I'm not going to be chayiv for it. I'm either borrower, I'm not going to be chayiv with it. No, but if I actually said hit it with a stick, that's the case of the Mishnah, where I'm taking full responsibility, no matter whether you're walking with it, whether your Eved's walking with it, whether your kid's walking, it doesn't make a difference. I'm taking full responsibility. The Gemara brings a raya that's really what Rav meant to say, to Itmar, because it was said in the Beis Medrash that if the borrower says to the lender, Hashileni Paraska, please lend me your cow. Va'amarlo, it didn't say the word please, but I'm adding that in because I think it's nice to say please. Va'amarlo, and the lender says back to the borrower, Biyad me, hey, how would you like delivery? UPS, you know, what do you want me to do? FedEx. So Amarlo, he says, Hakisha b'makal v'tavo. You know what? You don't have to do UPS, FedEx. Those things are so expensive. Just whack it with a stick and it'll, you know, it'll end up in my house. Amarav nachmana, Amarav baravua, Amarav. They say in the name of Rav, Kevin Shiyatzis Mirshus Mashiel, once it leaves the lender's house, Umesa, and it dies, Chayiv, the shovel is going to be Chayiv. Why? Because you specifically told him to hit it with a stick and let it come. So you took all responsibility from that point forward. What do you see from there? That Rav very clearly says, why are you Chayiv? Only because you actually said hit it with a stick. There's no kit, Omerlo. It says if you said. No. You actually said hit it with a stick. Since you actually said hit it with a stick, that's why it has to go. So that's why you're going to be chayiv. What? I don't know. Name Sayele. So it says Gemara, maybe we have a brisa that supports Rav, because the brisa says as follows. Hashileni parasta. Borrower says to the lender, lend me your cow. Vamalei, biad me. So he says, yeah, how should I send it? Vamalei, hakisha makal v'itavo. You know, hit it with a stick and it will come. So it sounds very similar. Kivan shiyatz mishus mashal mesa, chayiv. Since, well, as soon as it leaves the rishus of the mashal and it dies, you're going to be chayiv. Meaning exactly the same thing. Right? The Bryce says exactly the same thing. So Amar Ravashi says, no. You have no proof to Rav from this Bryce. Because hacha b'maya skinan, this brisa, which sounds like it's saying exactly the same thing as Rav, might be talking about something different. Kigon shaisa chatzero shel shoel lifnim mechatzero shel mashiel. Isn't that a little crazy to have the expectation? Wake him up. Isn't it a little crazy? Now you're on Wayu Torah. I'll call you out by name in a second. Isn't that a little crazy that the shoel would assume that you hit the thing with a stick? That if you hit the thing with a stick, that it's going to just land, end up in your property? Why would it... What, the animal like has a built-in GPS, he knows where he's going? Like, what's the deal? Why would you assume that he'd end up in your property? So the Gemara says, no. The case in the Brisa is that your property is within his property. He owns all the areas around, and you're in the middle. So you just point it in that direction, and hit it. That's the only place it really can end up. So that's the case of the Braisa. So dekimishalchale vade lahasamazla. That's where you know for sure it's going. That's what the Braisa is talking about. That's when you're taking real responsibility. But what do you think, really? If let's say, you know, I need to return something to the store. Right, I bought something from the pet store. I bought a dog from the pet store, let's say, and I call up the pet store and I say, "This dog, it's not what I had in mind. It poops all over the house. It's peeing on my furniture. It's biting my kids. I didn't know dogs do this. I just thought they're cute and furry. I had no idea." And the pet store says, "Okay, so return it." I say, "Well, how should I do that? I don't want to pee on the seat of my car." So the pet store says, "Oh, why don't you just send it outside and see if it ends up back here?" So what do you think they really mean by that? If they say that?
Go jump in a lake.
Yeah, they're like, "You're an idiot. What do you mean? Just see if that works. What do you mean? How do you get it back here? Bring it back here. I don't know. Hit it with a stick and see if it comes." "Oh, what is this? You know, there's no hitting with the stick, you know? There's no, this isn't the Chagadya, you know? Like, well, what are you doing over here?" Right? So he doesn't mean that. The only case where he actually means it and he's actually taking responsibility is if his field is within the other guy's field where it's actually reasonable. So ihachi mai lemeimra. But if the case of the Braisa is that your field is within his field, so then what's the great chiddush? Of course, when you say hit it with a stick, you're taking responsibility in that case. Okay, let's see. Lo tsricha diika gazyasa. The case of the Braisa is in a case where the chatzir of the mashil, of the lender, has certain corners that the animal could hide in, like certain like little bushes that it can go off to the side, meaning that it's not necessarily going to go to your field. So mal detema lo samcha daite dilma kaima hasam. I might think that the shoel does not have confidence that the animal is going to end up in his field, because maybe it's going to go stand in the hiding places. Lasi azala hadyan. It's not going to just directly walk into his field. Kamash milan de samcha daite. That's what's coming. Tell me that he is confident. So what would be the main point over here? According to Rav. The shoel takes full responsibility as soon as he says what? Hit the animal and send it toward me. What?
Bring it to me
or I'll send someone to pick it up.
So what is Rav's
fault? If the lender brings it to him, and then it's the lender's fault. He's supposed to, as long as it's still in his possession. Okay, they have to come to some sort of agreement about when responsibility is going to be transferred. At some point, you know, the responsibility is going to have to be transferred. So again, Rav says that if the shovel says, hit the animal and send it and let it just come to me on its own, he's taken full responsibility for it at that point. Right? That's what Rav says. But the Braisa says that that's only true if what? If the borrower's property is within the property of the lender. That's the difference between Rav and the Braisa. It's a Braisa, an anonymous Braisa, anonymous. Okay, now new topic. The Gemara is going to discuss at what point, you know, we've been talking about when responsibility transfers. There's another important point of part of the transaction over here. At some point, you can't return it. You can't say, "I changed my mind. I'm not borrowing it." As I say, I'd really love to borrow your car for a week. So you give me the car and you leave town for a week. And I say, "I don't want this car anymore. You have to take it back." "I'm not here anymore. I can't take it back." Meaning, at what point do we say it's not returnable? That you can't back out on this deal anymore. You've taken responsibility for a week. Now you're responsible for a week. So at what point? Amar Rav Huna, Hashoel Kardom. If a person borrows an axe, Mechaver, from someone else, Bikabo, and he chopped wood with it. No, so that's it. The borrower's full responsibility. Lo bikabo, if he has not yet chopped anything with it, lo kana'o. He does not yet acquire it, and we'll see what that means. So says Mar Lamai, what do you mean he has not yet acquired it? He has it in his house or his shed or wherever people keep axes. I don't know who keeps axes, but whatever. He has it in his garage, I would assume. If I had an axe, I'd probably keep it in my garage. Right? He has it in his garage. So what do you mean he doesn't acquire it? Lamai, for what halacha? Ilem la onsin, If it's to tell me that he has not yet acquired it in terms of the chiyuv in onsin, what does that mean? That he's still going to be pater if something happens to it? Come on, that's ridiculous. Why would he be pater? If I borrow an axe from you and it's in my garage, then of course I should be chayv in onsin. Maishna para d'misha she'ela. Why would it be any different than the cow, where the second I take possession of it, I'm responsible for the onsin? One second, ela l'chazara. No, when we say that he has not yet acquired it, it means with regard to returning it. That if, let's say, the deal was to rent it for, to borrow it for a week, and the lender wants to get it back. He says, I changed my mind. I need it back. I didn't realize I have so many trees in my yard that need chopping, or so many people to... I'm an axe murderer, and I didn't realize how many people I would have to murder this week. I didn't realize how annoying my whatever my neighbor would be. So I need it back this week. He decides to change his mind. So bikabo, once the borrower has already chopped, has already used it, lo matzihad be'mashil. The lender can't back out on the deal anymore. If the deal was for a week, the lender can't ask for it back till the week is over. Lo bikabo, matzi mashil hadbe. If he has not yet done anything with it, then the lender can still back out if the shoal has not yet used it. So what's the halach over here? That when you borrow something, the lender can still back out until you use it. Upligad Rabbi Ami, but that is against Rabbi Ami. That's Rav Huna's opinion, but it's against Rabbi Ami. Dam Rabbi Ami. Rabbi Ami said, "Hamashil kardam shel hegdish." If a person lends an axe that belongs to hegdish, ma'al. The guy who lent it out, you know, he easy for me to do it. I'm going to lend you something that belongs to hegdish. I violate mi'ila when I do that. What's mi'ila?
Using something designated for
Beis Hamikdash. Right, when you use something that's designated to Hegdash that belongs to the Beis Hamikdash. So I decide I'm going to take a Hegdash axe and lend it to you. I'm in violation of mi'ila, even though you have not yet used it. Why? Lefi tovas hana'a shabo. The mi'ila that I get is the... That's a little bit of background here. When I violate mi'ila, I have to pay the Beis Hamikdash for the violation.
Mi'ila is when you use something
that belongs to Hegdash. I benefit from something that belongs to Hegdash. Yeah, it belongs to Hegdash means the Beis Hamikdash. I benefit from something that belongs to the Beis Hamikdash. So I have to pay for that. Not only do I have to pay a penalty on top of it. I pay 125% of the benefit that I had. So if I had a dollar worth of benefit, I pay... What? $1.25. Excellent. Okay, so I pay 125% of my hana'ah. What's my hana'ah in this case? I took a Hegdash axe and I lent it to you. Where's my hana'ah? So the hana'ah is, you know, when I lend you things, you tend to like me more. Because I'm always, like, doing nice, you know, lending you things. Whatever that is worth, whatever that relationship is worth, that now you view me as the nice guy, right? That's the value that I got from Hegdash. Lefi tovas hana'a shabo. Based on the tovas hana'a, how much the borrower values the fact that you lent it to him. That's what you pay to Hegdash. V'chaveiro mutulav kol bo l'chadchila. And the borrower is actually allowed to use it, even though you know that it belongs to Hegdash, because once the lender is chayiv to Hegdash, so now you're allowed to use it. V'ilo k'na'o. But if you're going to say that the borrower only actually acquires it when what? What did Rav Huna say? When he uses it. I'm my ma'al. Why would the lender already be in violation of mi'ila when he gives it to him? V'amai chaveru mutuv kolba l'chadchila. And why would the shoel be allowed to use it? It should not be considered to have left the property of Hegdash until you use it. So you shouldn't be allowed to use it. Nahadre, what you should really do is just return it. V'lo l'kanye, and then you will never have been kone it at all. V'lo limal, and then no one will have violated mi'ila. So from the very fact that we say that the borrower is allowed to use it, and that the lender has violated mi'ila, you see that responsibility... That kinyan happens already at the moment of the lending, not like Rav Huna said, that it happens only when you first use it. So what we have so far over here is a machlokas between Rav Huna and Rabbi Ami. At what point do we say that the shoal has acquired it enough that the mashal can't back out of it, that the lender can't back out of it. Rav Huna said, at what point is that? When the shoel uses it. And Rav Yami said, when he first gets it. Exactly. And says the Gemara, upliga Rav Lazar. Rav Huna also disagrees with Rabbi Elazar. The Amr Rabbi Elazar, kederech shetiknu meshicha bilukuchos, kach tiknu meshicha b'shomra. Just like the Chacham made a takana, that there's a kinyan called meshicha. What's that? What's that kinyan?
Pull something.
Good, to pull something. See, most of the time, in order to be kona something, you lift it, right? You lift it up, and now you're kona. But try to do that with a cap. You know, not so easy. So you'd have to, you pull it, and it moves a little. When you pull it, so there's such a thing called a kinyan meshicha, and you become the owner of it. The same is true when it comes to a shomer, like a shoah, like a borrower. The second you do the meshicha, you become the shoel, and therefore the other guy can't ask for it back. You're fully responsible for it. Not when you use it, but when you do the meshicha, when you first borrow it. So we see not only does Rav Huna disagree with Rabbi Ami, Rav Huna also disagrees with Rabbi Elazar. Tanya Nami Achim, we have a brisa that says just like Rabbi Elazar, Kishem Shetiknu Meshicha Belkuchos, Kach Tiknu Meshicha Beshomr. Same exact words. U Kishem. And the brisa continues, Ukeshem shekarka niknes bekesef b'shtar b'chazaka, kach schirus niknes bekesef b'shtar b'chazaka. Ooh, this is a new halacha. So maybe let's do a main point before we do this halacha. We just got two more lines, but let's do a main point. What's the main point? We have a fundamental machlokas between Rav Huna on the one side, Rabbi Yami and Rabbi Elazar on the other side. Rav Huna says, as soon the borrowing is only finalized once you use it. Rabbi Yami and Rabbi Elazar said the borrowing is finalized as soon as you take possession of it. Right? That's the machlokas. What do we mean finalized? It means if the lender says, I changed my mind, I want it back, he can't do it anymore. It's too late. So now, this brisa adds this new halacha. How does one acquire karka? How do you make a kid? You can't lift up karka. You can't do meshicha on karka. Karka doesn't move. How does one acquire karka? Three ways. Kesef, Shtar and Chazaka. What's Kedushin, Kesef? Right? Kiddushin is similar. It's Kesef, Shtar.
No, but isn't this case brought down in Kiddushin?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Right, that's not so shy. So Kesef, Shtar and Chazaka. Okay, so how does one do a Kinyan? How does one do a Kinyan Kesef?
You give a sum of money over
give
it.
Someone
or
money
something, or
give
shove,
the
it,
money.
Or shove it.
Exactly, give the money or something money worth money. Like how do we do by Kiddushin? What do we give?
Shove
a pruta. Shove a pruta, or, right, so we give a ring that's worth a pruta. That's why the Masada Kiddushin always says, is this worth a pruta, right? Okay, what's Shtar?
Document of transaction.
Good, document of transaction. And Chazaka, what's Chazaka? How do you acquire a karka with a Chazaka? So Chazaka, what? Doing something. What we call na'al gadar uparat. You lock up the property, you build a fence around the property, you break a fence that's around the property, you just do something to the property. And that makes it yours. So we say kach schirus. The same is true when it comes to a rental. When you want to become the renter and you want to now acquire that as the renter, how do you do it? Bekesef b'shtar b'chazaka. So the Gemara thinks at this point that we're talking about when you want to rent anything. You want to rent this water bottle, meaning metaltalin, not even karka. The same way that you acquire karka with kesef shtar and chazaka, you acquire a rental that's even metaltalin with kesef shtar and chazaka. That's what the Gemara thinks. It says Gemara, schirus, maya vidite. What are we talking about schirus over here? That why would schirus be acquired any way other than meshicha? I want to rent a cow. Why would I kesef shtar chazaka? I should do a meshicha. What are you talking about? So I'm Rav Chista the schirus karka. You're right. We meant schirus karka the whole time. That just like when you buy karka, you acquire it with kesef shtar chazaka. When you rent karka, it's with kesef shtar chazaka. So last main point. Just like when you buy karka, it's with, you acquire it with kesef shtar chazaka. When you rent karka, it's also with kesef shtar chazaka. Who's saying shir tomorrow? Who's going to do chazar shir tomorrow?